Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Iggy Kelly is a German-based musician, performer, and TV star. The all-rounder impressed at the blind auditions of The Voice Kids in 2017. After being eliminated in the semi-finals, the Dusseldorf native remained loyal to The Voice format and caused a stir as a backstage reporter in 2019. After that, he consistently continued his path by going on tour with the British pop rap High Flyers, Bars and Melody. Iggy, no longer a newcomer to the music business, signed with Universal Music in 2019 and has been releasing his own gripping songs ever since. As an experienced musician, Iggy already had his first success in 2022 with his single No Matter What and gained recognition on radio. In addition, his impressive collaborations with DJ Dua Lane, be it the remix of No Matter What or the jointly produced track Don't Go, caused an international sensation. As a rising star in the music industry, Iggy is just getting started and sets his sights on a blazing trail of success in the entertainment world. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Iggy Kelly. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
So currently I'm living in Germany, but I'm actually Irish. So it's not the place where I've always lived. You can find me pretty much everywhere where I have a show. So of course, due to COVID and stuff, there was a bit less going on, but now there's a lot planned for this summer. We have a lot of huge festivals playing support for a lot of big artists. So I'm very, very thankful and I can't wait to go back on stage. But this year, we're mainly based in Germany.
You reference supporting artists, putting it out there soon, you'll be headlining. But what is it like supporting an artist? Is it challenging to win over those audience members because they might not know who you are?
Okay, so to be honest, I've started supporting artists and I actually went on tour in on a world tour kind of. We were on tour for like 3-4 weeks and I was a guy no one knew back then. And the good thing is I have a song which is really working in German radio. So people will notice me from the song, which is pretty nice because people will be like, oh, that's the guy with that song. So that's actually a really nice thing because then people first know your music, which is my main goal kind of. And then on second sight, they'll know how I look and how I act. So I'm really totally relaxed about that because I know that they'll recognize at least one or two songs of mine. And I think they like it because I'm going to prepare a very nice show with my band and we'll rock the stage, hopefully.
Let's rewind. So for the listening audience, Iggy's part of a massive musical family of many generations. So Do you think that predisposed you to travel into the entertainment world? And what age did you decide, cool, this is the path I want to follow as the rest of my family has?
Yeah, so actually I wanted to be a lawyer until I was 11 or 12. Like my brother, for instance, he has nothing to do with music. Okay. And we're pretty much the same age. So of course, my family influenced me, but I would not say that I knew from the start that I want to be a musician, because to be honest, I love doing music, but I never thought of doing it as my main job kind of. So that actually happened pretty much when I was 12, 13, when I started to sing more often. And then I joined the casting show The Voice, you know, The Voice Kids.
Okay,
And I don't know, but somehow when I joined the casting show, I got way more into it kind of. And as of that point, I was totally convinced that I'll continue doing that 24/7 kind of. And I just continued and carried on. Yeah.
So it was the Voice Kids Germany or UK? Which one?
It was Germany. Yeah, I know. So I just wanted to say, of course, that was not the main, like the only thing which led to me being a singer as my main job. But of course, that was one of the essential moments, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but I suppose it invigorated you. So
Yeah.
for the audience watching at home, what is it
Yeah.
from the experience behind the camera, being on a show like The Voice, what is that like? What is that journey like for, we see the end results or the auditions or the television side of things. What are the processes behind the scenes, and how long does it actually take to record such a program?
Okay, so it's super exciting. They're very kind, actually. Maybe people think, oh, it's a bunch of old people just telling you, yeah, stand there, go there on stage, but it's actually not the case. There's a lot of young people, a lot of very motivated people. So yeah, it's actually very nice, a nice feeling being there, and they're very supportive. You have like depends on which state you're in, but if you're in the first step, the blind auditions, then you're at the studios from the Voice Kids for in Germany at least for about a week or in a week and a half, and then they prepare you. They help you choose your outfit, and they help you help like they have vocal coaching a little bit, and they have all kinds of interviews because of course what people see is like most of the time, a 3-4 minute summary of what the person is like. But just imagine you have to go on stage, and on the same day they want to do like 10 interviews with you. It just doesn't work, So it's all done a few days before so that you can relax on the day where you're going on stage, kind of, So yeah, that's how it was for me.
And what age were you when you did that?
I was 13, so I look pretty young, but I'm actually 20 right
Okay.
now. It's still young, I'm just saying, yeah,
Now that's cool because when you like, I was so much like, you look much younger than I am. So when you're older, then you'll still look 10 years younger, so to speak.
that's what I tell people, exactly. That's what I tell people.
You've released a number of singles, so let's unpack your creative brain. So when you're
Yeah.
creating a new song from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes, what is that process? Is it easy every time? Do you do it by yourself? Do you collaborate with others? Your Iggy's creative brain. Let's dive into that.
Yeah, so first of all, I think it's like all the other jobs. Just because something is easy, it doesn't mean that it's easy, that it's always been easy. Like,
Okay.
for instance, if you're a professional painter, maybe it's easy for you to paint a nice picture, but it doesn't mean that it's easy for everyone because there was a long process to where you are right now. So it's the same with music. I wrote songs for like, so for years, and they all sounded really bad. And I think the thing is that you have to, you cannot give up. You always have to continue and always try to improve, because that's what works, just learning by doing, kind of. And right now, I'm at a point where I would say I'm pretty confident with songwriting. Yeah. So the process of a song is very different every time. So, either you have a sentence which you really like, and it's, for example, the main message of the song. And so you try to find a melody which suits the sentence, or sometimes you have a great melody, and then you think of something nice you want to have as a lyric on top of that. So it really depends. But I think it's like writing a book or something. You just have to listen to a lot of music, understand what the people are doing, because, of course, you can make a 20-minute song with a 4-minute intro, but at the end of the day, if your goal is to reach many people, you might stick to things which already worked. So you stick to 2, 3 to 4 minutes. You have two verses in pop music. You have two verses, maybe a pre-chorus after every verse, and then a chorus, maybe a post-chorus, maybe middle eight after the second chorus. So there's all kinds of rules which you have to learn, but it's just like learning by by listening to other music. So it's not that crazy. You don't have to do any schoolwork or something for that. And then it's about understanding how the different parts work and understanding that rhyming is important, for example, not always, but rhyming is important, but maybe rhyming too much is not good, because then it doesn't sound like someone is singing to you, but someone is, singing a poem to you. So you have to find the balance. So there's a lot of things which you learn. But for example, what I always did is I wrote a part of a song. Then I thought to myself, what could be good? What could be wrong? So then I listened to other songs which went into the same direction. And I just tried to understand what was the songwriter doing, which I'm missing kind of. And that's how you slowly get into a state where you exactly know what works and what doesn't work. And then, of course, what plays a big role is intuition, you know, just you have to be confident enough to know what sounds good and what doesn't sound good. And that's all. And also, I remember there were times where it took like 5 hours to find two sentences.
Yeah.
And it didn't come. And that's important, because without that work, you will not be able to do it quickly. You know, it's like someone who does sports every day, you know, after a while he can go jogging for 4 hours straight or something. You know, it's just about continuing and trying to improve what you're doing. And never, that's the most important actually, never think your song is perfect and there's nothing you could change, because that's wrong. You can always change something and always improve your song. You can, of course, what I do is there's a point where I say, yeah, that song is solid and it's good enough to bring it out. And I think it's amazing. But I think you should never say, yeah, there's no better song in that direction, because that's not true. You always can improve. Yeah.
Okay, so a lot to unpack here. I'm loving this conversation. You mentioned bad and good, but what your perception of bad is might be brilliant for other people. So how do you take your sort of critical brain out of the equation to understand, okay, it is actually not great compared to my brain that is always negative perceptually and doubting?
Yeah.
Do you understand my question? So how do you get rid of that blurriness?
I think it's important to also listen to other people. So when you write something, maybe go to someone you think has a good music taste in the direction you like. Show it to him, but don't think that his opinion is relevant, because you have to go to several people to try to understand. Like, for example, if you write something, you think it's brilliant, but you show it to 20 people and they all say it sounds super bad, then either you're a bad singer, either you have a bad production, or either the song is bad, or not bad, but at least bad for most people. It just depends on what you want to do, you know? If you write a song just for yourself, then of course, just listen to yourself. But if you want to write music for the people and you want to inspire people and find melodies and lyrics which inspire people, then of course you should also listen to what other people have to say. So I would always say, after you think it's perfect for you, show it to a lot of people, and to a lot of people where you know they'll tell you the truth. And then also when they say, no, it's not good, 100% you have to understand why they think that. Is it because of the instruments? Is it because of the way you're singing? Is it because you sing it too high? Is it the lyrics? Maybe the lyrics are bad, but the melody is good. Or maybe the melody is bad and the lyrics are good. So you always have to understand exactly what you can improve. And that's how I always did it. But you're right. There's no right and wrong. It's just about, if you show it to 20 people, what will they think? If you have, of course, if you have 10 people saying it's an amazing song and 7 people saying it's okay and 3 people saying it's bad, then it's still a good song, because like 17 people don't think it's bad, you know? It just, you have to get a feeling of what people think. So that's very simple. Yeah.
And the more you gain confidence in creation, do you potentially feel that you'll have to show it to less people because there'll be...
Yeah, totally. Like, okay. Me, for example, right now, I just show it to a few people, but not because I will do what the people tell me to do, but just because it's always nice to hear feedback. You know, maybe they have just something small you can change, but For example, right now I'm also working on new music, and I have a demo, and I showed it to like to my management, my mom, my girlfriend, and they love it. But they had one or two little things which I said, yeah, maybe you can change that, and I'll do that. But 100%, you'll get to a point where you will only really listen to what you feel, because, like, for example, I personally would say by now I know more or less what the people that like me want to hear from me, you know. Okay. So I don't need to show it to 20 people, but that was just saying if you start songwriting, that's what would recommend.
Understood.
Because otherwise you stay in your bubble and then you'll never get better, because you only get better if you open your mind, and it's very hard to open your mind by yourself, you know. So when you start songwriting, it's important to hear some feedback from people. It's like with painting or with sports. If you always do the exercise wrong, you'll hurt yourself or you'll not get better. So you need to get some feedback from people. That's how simple it is in life. Yeah.
So you referenced a little bit earlier that way about listening to songs by other artists to help you with your writing and your creation. When you're listening to music by other artists, are you always unpacking what they've created, or are you ever able to just relax and like, okay, I'm just listening now?
That's a very good question. So actually, that's actually a thing. So me personally, I can't really listen to music which is the same direction as I write music.
Okay.
So for instance, if I do modern pop in English, as I do right now, I'm not really someone who privately listens to One Republic, Tom Gregory, or all that kind of singers, because I will always analyze what they're doing. But what I do is I just like maybe listen to dance music or to some singer-songwriter music, and then there I can relax. But with the rest, it's actually a thing that it's really difficult. Yeah.
You've released a few songs. You've referenced that you're busy creating more. Is it going to accumulate into a body of work of a whole album?
No, it's not. And actually, I know that a lot of people love releasing albums, but for me, it's actually not the case. And I can explain why. Mm. So for me, it's like every time you release an album, you'll only get a very small percentage of people listening to every song, because we're in a time with TikTok and all that stuff where you just scroll. You're like, a lot of people are not able to just sit down and listen to an album. And so if you bring out single by single by single, that doesn't really happen, because people will listen to that song because you just have that one new song which came out. So I'd rather bring out only singles than an album. Of course, it looks great. He brought out an album, but I don't care, because bringing out an album means bringing out maybe 12 songs, and people will listen to four of them, and maybe 5% of the people that could have listened to the rest will listen to the other 8 songs, and 95% will just skip them or just listen to a little part of them. So what I'm saying is I'd rather release singles, just be able to reach more people with these individual songs, kind of.
So it's interesting you mentioned that, because you referencing the digital age, and I'm not sure, and I'm sure you're aware that physical CDs, vinyls, and cassettes, they're making a massive comeback. In fact, vinyls in the UK alone last year had 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. CDs are going the upward trajectory, so are cassettes, which is a whole album experience.
But then it's because in Germany, for instance, in Germany's like, I think, the fourth biggest music market for pop music. Mm. I'm not quite sure, but one of the biggest, like all the international people come to Germany. And with vinyl, I totally agree. A lot of people buy vinyl. For instance, I also have a few vinyls, but I don't play them. I just like to look at them, and I just put them there as decoration. I got myself an Ed Sheeran CD 5 years ago. I never played it. I just wanted to have an Ed Sheeran CD. So kind of, I think, I totally agree, but I'm just saying it's very, like if you go on the underground, you'll only see people with headphones on. Yes. No one will have... So what I'm saying, it's just a nice thing in the evening at home, but during the day, during the travel time and all that stuff, people are not listening to CDs anymore because it's just not practical. But I totally agree that there's a comeback for a lot of vintage stuff because, of course, it's something nice to just feel it, kind of, to feel the CD.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
Totally agree.
but what I'm saying is still, I would say 80% of the day people will still use their phones to listen to music, which is a pity, of course, because the quality is not as good, and
Totally.
you can just download it from the dark web or I don't know what.
Yes.
Theoretically. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you enjoy about performing live?
To be honest, performing live is a feeling that you will only understand if you perform live. So it's such an amazing feeling because it's just you write music and then you're in front of a huge crowd and everyone just listens to you singing. So the whole attention is only on your song, which is so nice because, for instance, if you're a painter and you put your painting onto the wall, maybe you have 10, 20 people just passing by, but on stage, you're there singing something you love, and everyone is looking at you and just listening to what you're singing. So that's really like just an amazing feeling. And if you're on stage with a band and the band just sounds amazing too, it's just something you can't buy. It's really special.
So I've got a point of discussion around this. I'm that person that's always right up in front, jamming, whatever, whatever, having fun. I'll take my phone out for maybe a couple of videos, couple of photos, and I'll put my phone away. I find that the people around me are taking videos and photos a majority of the time. So from the person on the stage viewing that, do you find that disconnects you a little bit from the energy and the being in the moment, or it's just where society is at the moment?
To be honest, I think when people pay money to see a concert, I don't want to be the person who tells them what to do. So
Okay.
if they want to take out their phones, they can. Of course, it's nicer if you're just in the moment, but I agree that a lot of people also want to share the moments or keep the moments kind of forever. So they videotape kind of the whole thing. But I'm totally with you that it's not as personal, not as exciting as without filming the whole thing. Totally.
And Ken, are you allowed to say who you're going to be opening for this year, or is it a secret?
Unfortunately, not yet because
Okay.
I don't go yet. But I can 100% say that we'll have huge festivals. We already have like nearly 10 planned, but there's way more to come
Oh, wow.
because as we're climbing up the radio right now. Last week we were top 60, and now we're 45 in Germany. So it's really growing fast. So there's a lot to come, and I can't really say
Okay.
for who yet. Just because they didn't announce it yet,
Oh,
otherwise I
okay,
would have.
understood, understood. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 hours, 2 minutes, 20 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. And I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not necessarily saying favorite, but if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Okay, so I'll probably take so it'll be probably songs in a similar direction as I do, or actually maybe not. So I'll 100% take one or two songs from Tom Gregory. It's like a radio singer in Germany, but I just love his music. Yeah, I'll take Fingertips and I'll take Footprints. That's like two songs of his, 100%. Okay, then I'll take one song from my girlfriend because she also does music. I'll
Okay.
say, yeah, I'll take one song, song from her, and then I'll take two songs. Maybe it's so hard. Maybe Bad Habits from Ed Sheeran,
Yes.
and maybe from Shawn Mendes, Nothing Holding Back or something like that.
That's cool.
But I'll
Okay.
just, to be honest, there's like 30 other songs I could
Exactly,
choose right
exactly.
now.
That's why it's hard. But now who's your girlfriend so the people who are listening can look for her music
As
at all.
my girlfriend that does German music, but amazing singer-songwriter music. She's really an amazing artist. Her name is Eske, Eske.
Yes.
Yeah,
Okay,
amazing music.
cool. So we'll look her up as well. Outstanding. So, Iggy, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message, what would you like to say?
To be honest, I would just say that your dreams are not that far, and people think that it's so difficult to reach things in life. Of course it is, but what I'm saying is if you never try it, you'll always regret it. So just try to achieve what you always wanted to achieve. And yeah, it's not that far. It's really not. Like you just have to keep going. So just follow your dreams.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.